Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, and as the man says, I'm Brilliant Ideas, the man with the plan, I think, and welcome to another 90 minutes of food, fun, and friends. And this week we have a great show lined up for you guys. And good morning, Laurie, our Food News Jersey style girl.
Good morning.
How are you? I got that song stuck in my head. Oh, when the Saints go
marching in.
Oh, I want to be in that number. We've been listening to Louis Armstrong this morning. So anyway, good morning, Laurie. And I guess we don't
what
have our wives.
What a wonderful world.
Yeah, what a wonderful world. And that's a good segue. We don't have Brian here, so it is a what a wonderful world. Anyway, Brian. Already. He'll be joining us, I think, in a few minutes. He's on czar assignment, the wine czar. I guess he's coming on later to tell us what he's up to. But in the meantime, let me just tell everybody about our two guests. Today we have, I'm going to say his name wrong, I've been saying this over and over again all morning, Joseph Caniglio, is that how you say it? Caniglio?
I think it's Caniglio. I've been friends with him a long time.
Oh, see, I screwed it up again. You say it. How do you say it again?
I'm not looking at the words. I think it's Caniglio.
Caniglio. Anyway, Joseph is a cheese artisan, and he's an author and food book publisher, and he'll be joining us. I like his philosophy is when in doubt, add butter. So he'll be coming on with us in about 15 or 20 minutes. And then we have a good friend, Fred Zira. And Fred has been on our show before.
Guy.
Yep, he's mm-hmm. really cool. And he's actually a movie producer. And we had him on, I don't know how long ago that was, but we had him on before about his new movie, Read Me. And I really want this movie to happen because it looks like it's going to be a really good movie.
Yep.
We'll be getting an update on that, on what he's doing with the new movie. It's called Read Me, and looks like an interesting concept, and hopefully he can raise the money on Kickstarter to get this movie off and rolling. And then I guess the wine czar will be joining us sometime in the near future. I don't know when he's calling in. But in the meantime, Laurie, it's your time to shine. So you got any good news?
I do, but can I plug myself for a moment? Now I'm just thinking about the Read Me movie.
Yeah.
Can I plug myself? Okay. Well, I don't know how many people know, but I have been getting excited because I write and illustrate children's books. I have 5 ready to go one of these days. But I was thinking when we were listening to his little like clip about the Read Me, his movie, that if you couldn't read to children, if they couldn't learn, just think about if you can't read. Or if you can't see to read, or, you know, it just...
I agree, and the premise of the movie is that the guy that is the movie cannot read, and
I know.
How he reads people, but he can't actually read the written word, and it's kind of the struggles he goes through through life. And you're right; if you can't read, there's a lot of things you can't do. So,
yep.
Could it be interesting?
But I'm
and,
excited about that. I hope it works.
You don't want to plug your website yet, I guess, because about the books, because we're not ready yet. But Laurie has been working on her children's books. And,
yes. I got the title, though. You can plug to me. Plug the title, can't
yeah, but they'll go look, and there's nothing there.
That's okay. It's just I love the name.
Well, then tell them. Your book.
Okay. It's book. myhappybooks.com.
Yep, and she's got.
And we've been waiting for that. Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
we've been waiting for that. It was taken.
Got it yesterday, and we got to work on the website. But Laurie's working on her books, and she'll be announcing the release of the books, I guess, soon in the very near future. So.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm excited. I love it.
So now that you got that news out of the way, you got some food news.
I do. Here we go. You're going to love this one. Everybody must think of you when they think of bacon, but it's called Bacon and Booze. And someone just sent me this morning, I saw it, and I thought, oh, I have to read it. It's pretty interesting. An Iowa distillery is raising pigs to taste like whiskey. Can you imagine?
What
think
are they,
of this.
Who knows how people think of half the stuff they think of.
But
so
I think
what are
it's
they
great.
How do they make them taste like whiskey? Are they putting it in their feed
I could
feed
see the Las
what?
Vegas chefs jumping on this one. What they do, and it says, just when it seemed like there was no way to make eating bacon an even more excessive experience, some folks in Iowa came up with a way. The Templeton Rye Pork Project started at the Templeton Rye Distillery in the hopes of raising pigs that will taste like whiskey. The 25 purebred Duroc pigs in the project were born this January, and they are subsisting on the diet that incorporates distillery grain into their food. And as a group who appreciates both flavor and quality, we thought it would be interesting to bring to the market a selection of heritage bred pigs.
Do you think it really tastes like whiskey?
I don't know.
I got to try
it
now. You know I've got to try it.
Well, this is me too. If we can get it, I'll finish the story. There's not that many there, so. Even at this stage of the project, the distillery is already fielding calls from people who want to purchase the pigs. I told you. I bet the Las Vegas chefs are like, me, me, me. We have a little motto here, they say.
Nothing. We all the way home.
I try to get that part out of my head, so stop.
That's what happens when you drink too much whiskey and beer.
No, I think so. Together. We have a little motto here, they say. My dad always told me nothing good happens after 12 p.m., so it seems like that's when this idea was probably thought of, after we had a few drinks. I don't think we're going to have any problem getting rid of the 25 pigs. The final
hey, wait a minute.
Got
wait,
the
wait,
pigs.
Wait. You just made me think of something. I wish the wine czar was here, but everybody, Laurie asked me the other night, it was like, what, about 8:30, 9 o'clock, she said to me, is it too late?
You always make me nervous.
Is it too late for wine time? And I had to explain to her that it's never too late for wine time. Maybe too early for wine time, but never
you
too late.
You did say that. I was cracking up. So we did. We poured wine. It was like almost, like 10 to 9 or something, but we poured a glass of wine. We were like drinking wine, and it got later and later and later. It's like, ooh.
Yep. Sorry, interrupt you, but I always do. Anyway, so where were we?
You always do. It says there is something somebody is going to do, and we want to be at the cutting edge of this, and I think we are, says the, the owner who's breeding these pigs. He wanted to be the first one to do it, and they are. And people are already asking for them.
But wouldn't it be just simpler to take bacon or ham or pork roast and just soak it in?
Marinate it.
Marinate it.
Yeah, it's funny. I thought so, too. But it's very interesting, and it's different, and I think someone's going to make a lot of money.
Definitely.
There's going to be a big demand for it. If they taste, I don't know how it's going to taste. You don't know.
Okay.
Here we go. From the creators of the deep-fried Pabst Blue Ribbon Burger. Do you drink Pabst Blue Ribbon? I know you're not a big beer drinker, but I never thought about it. I haven't.
My grandfather drank Pabst Blue Ribbon. No, I do not.
It was an old beer,
old
I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Philadelphia-based restaurant PYT has outdone themselves with their new fried chicken and beer burger. Listen to this. Looking like something out of a stoner's dream, the burger isn't a burger at all. It's actually a carefully crafted sandwich constructed of layers of mouth-watering goodness, one after the other. I love that. Mouth-watering goodness. With its southern fried chicken patty, pickled green tomatoes, and pimento cheese oozing down the sides, this burger seems like it belongs more in the South than in Philly, but it's the kicker that really takes this thing to an East Coast level. Here's your word you like. The piece de resistance of this thing is a fried wonton, and it's filled with Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. I'm telling you, wait till you hear this. I want to try this. T Restaurant says the beer explodes out in the best way. Think of it as a fried version of these soup dumplings you'd find at a bomb dumpling house, except it's filled with booze instead of broth. And while you're busy shotgunning a gulp full of Pabst Blue Ribbon from your burger, you might want to order a frosty brewski to wash it down, that taste of the hot beer.
So they're actually filling the dumpling with beer?
Yeah, so when you bite it, it oozes out hot beer.
Oh, boy. Why Pabst Blue Ribbon?
It explodes. I think I'd be afraid I would choke if it exploded,
I could go so many directions with that, but I will leave it alone. It's a morning show.
Brilliant.
Okay, all right. So Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Why Pabst Blue Ribbon? Did they invent this idea or what?
Well, the restaurant in Philly. Same thing in Philly.
No one has any idea what you're talking about, by the way.
No. No, that's an airport joke from my buddy who had the airport. Okay, next. Anyway, but this restaurant in Philly was the first one, I guess, to invent it, so that's why they're just kind of promoting it. It's not going to be around forever. It's just kind of a promotion, they said, so. I guess so. Everybody needs to run to the PYT in Philly and have this burger.
All right.
Time. Okay. If you've ever searched the aisles for healthy chicken, you know there are a lot of options out there. You're gonna go nuts on this one. But what do these labels really mean, and how can you make sure you're getting what you pay for? We've all heard the term, I know, there you go, farm-raised. But according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, this label simply means that a chicken was born and raised on a farm. It doesn't define how they were treated. Technically, all chickens are farm-raised, so this label really has no meaning. Wait. Another term to watch out for is natural. While it's a popular marketing phrase, natural,
right.
While it is a popular marketing phrase, this label doesn't carry any weight either. You've also probably seen the label hormone-free. What most people don't know is that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration already prohibits this for any artificial hormones in the production of poultry. And that this means any brand of chicken can be labeled hormone-free. Here we go. Another term can be perceived as free-range. There are currently no industry standards that specifically define what a free-range farm is. So it could be anything from an open yard to a small pen.
Well, it's true.
I know. So
it's
as a result,
marketing.
99...
It's all marketing. It's all marketing.
You're
and
right.
By the way,
you're
let me,
right.
Just, let me
so,
just say something here. I knew it.
Football. Run down the field.
Oh, boy. I had this conversation with a chef on Facebook one day, and I guess we're not friends anymore, but if all the chickens were free range, the United States would be covered in chickens because I know that they
run all
60,000 in a chicken house. Can you imagine if we just had to have land enough for all the millions and millions and millions and billions of chickens that are produced every year? I mean, it'd be chickens running everywhere. But everybody's all hung up on the fact that they need to be free range and they need to be running around the chicken yard. There is no such thing as a farmyard anymore. It's all made by factory farms, and they have to put them in the houses, otherwise they'd be running all over the place. So anyway.
No, you're right, but as I said, as a result, 99% of poultry labeled, quote, free range simply isn't. You'll have to go to a local farm or your farmer's market to get the true free range chicken. And lastly, we have organic. Here we go. Only one labeled that is guaranteed by certain standards. This term means that there are no antibiotics, and that 100% of the chickens' feed must be grown without chemical fertilizers, herbicides, and the other genetically modified organisms for at least 3 years. While these chickens may be more expensive, they're also much more nutritious and definitely worth the extra cost. And so remember, sometimes the real savings happens when you know what you're paying for.
Now stop. We actually had a show a few weeks ago where you talked about testing that was done. I forget where it was. I think it was in Austria, if I'm not mistaken. It was somewhere.
It was in Austria. I think you're right.
And they proved
that
organic and all that stuff doesn't make any difference and doesn't. I'm sorry. That was the vegetarian story. I think I don't know. But anyway.
I know the story.
The organic's not any better than the other ones, but everybody believes
it is. Well, you're right. Everybody's different. Everybody writes articles that are different because they did say, you know, that you're just paying for the word, and right now they're saying you got to.
I know we're gonna get shot by half a dozen people for this one, but it's just oh my god. In fact, I'd rather I don't like organic because they put manure on the produce and. You can get E. coli, and that's some of the issues we're having with E. coli and other things are coming from organic fruits and vegetables, and I don't know. Seems like we're all living longer since they've all started doing the things to, you know, to raise the animals more healthy and antibiotics and stuff, but whatever. I never make friends with this topic. I lose half of our listening audience.
That's what
but
I'm saying. Yeah. Right. Anyway, I just say on that part. Walmart is bringing a one-stop shopping to another area. I love this, and I hope we can do this. Auto insurance. The world's largest retailer has teamed up with autoinsurance.com to let shoppers quickly find and buy insurance policies online in real time to cut down the cost. The service is available immediately in 8 states, and it will be available nationwide in the next few months, and shoppers can log on to autoinsurance.com or access the site through Walmart's website.
I think that's great. I think there is also talk of them doing some sort of medical insurance. It has some those doctor places you go to, quick visit places.
Oh, MediMerge? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Anyway. I think it's a great idea. Of course, you saw where Barack Obama got in trouble because he was promoting solar energy at Walmart, and then the unions went after him this past week, which I think is hilarious. But anyway, I do think Walmart offers a great product to the masses, and lots of people can afford to eat at lower cost. And I know I will tick off a lot of people on this one, too, because of the small mom-and-pop shops to get put out of business because of Walmart and the fact that Walmart employees don't get paid a lot, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, they offer good things for people, and we shop at Walmart. I love Walmart.
Well, like I said, look, I have to admit.
We would be a sponsor.
Exactly. Where I grew up in New Jersey, where I've been, I have everything. I've had all, like, the kitlets. I have the best market, so I would never think about going to a Walmart. And I'd have to drive a little distance where the Walmart was where I grew up, so I never went to Walmart. But I have to say, since we moved to Maryland, we don't have that luxury. I don't have the Whole Foods and the chains and stuff. We have Walmart.
No, actually, you need to change that.
So now I like Walmart.
Since you moved in with me, that's when it happened.
Yeah, you know. Love Vegas, really. Same be Love Vegas.
Yes,
and I love. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
We save a ton of money there, and I don't care if people laugh. So what? It's the same name brands. We've had this conversation 100 times on this show, but I get sick and tired of people say, "Oh my God, you shop at Walmart?" Yes, we shop at Walmart.
Look, I just bought the prettiest summer tops.
Call it the hick,
little tank
care.
Tops, little T-shirts, and little tops. For what was it? I remember we went shopping. I said, "My love, look at $297. I bought like all the colors there.
Yes, I know, I was there.
How do you go wrong with that?
I don't know. Okay, we done with that story.
Anyway, yes, I think we drilled it into the ground a little bit. So yeah.
Yeah, we did. We got to go to our first guest, but I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be bringing on our first guest, and he is a I don't know what this word means, to be honest. Rubido? Does Rubido have to do with cheese? I don't know. He's a cheese artisan, but he's coming on Joseph. Cunanillo, I cannot say his name for some reason. I get tongue-tied, but he'll be joining us here in just a few moments. Everybody, hang tight. We'll be right back, and don't go away.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, go get yourself a Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. Punch in your zip code, find a dealer near you. And speaking of Big Green Egg, Laurie, did I not make the best kebabs last week on the Big Green Egg?
Oh, they applauded you, and no one's plate was, I could not believe, 50 people, and no one's plate came back with any, they were empty, they were coming, I'm like, I cannot believe it. Gone.
It was amazing. We had that charity event for the Skipjack Catherine. We had 50 people, and I made the beef and chicken kebabs on the Big Green Egg, and it took me 2 days to prepare for all this, but it turned out really well. And the Big Green Egg just does magic to food, and it was a great recipe, and the Big Green Egg, throw in that smoky flavor, and it was a hit. So thank you to the Big Green Egg, and thank you to all the people that ate all the shish kebabs. And everybody was happy. Even the dog was running around with a shish kebab stick in his mouth.
I know.
I had to chase him around because I was ready to get choked. But anyway, that was another story. Anyway, we're going to bring on our first guest. I think this is him calling in. He's been waiting on hold for a few minutes. I hope it's him. I keep messing up his name. How do you say it? I'm going to tell him to call me because I cannot say his last name to save my life. But anyway, he's a cheese artisan, and he's also an author and food book publisher, and I'm going to push this button, and Joseph should be here. Good morning, Joseph. Nope. Hello, Joseph.
Hello.
Joseph?
No, this is Christo. I've been online. I want to talk to Joseph.
Christo.
Mr. Coniglio.
I missed my
show this
Coniglio.
Week, so I had to be on the radio somehow.
Coniglio. Well, hi, Christo.
Yes,
thank you for telling me how to say Coniglio.
And I'm so excited. I bought some of his cheese, and I wanted to talk about that.
Get
with
out.
You. Yeah, it's great.
I didn't even. Are you calling the same number you always call on? Didn't look like. Is that your number?
Yeah, the same number. Starts with a six.
I don't pay attention. Well, guess what? Hey, Christo. Joseph Coniglio hasn't called in yet, so what have you been up to? I understand you were out in Las Vegas last week.
I was in Las Vegas this past week. That's why I missed my radio show and really disappointed about that. I was with Charbroil. We do our annual conference, and this year it was held in Las Vegas. Last year it was in Florida, which was fun. Vegas was great, so we were joking this time because we had such a great time and we were in, you know, lovely casino hotels and everything. But in order to top this one, we're going to have to go to Dubai next year.
Oh, there you go.
that would be fantastic. So, yeah, we learned about the new grills and all that's happening with Charbroil in the coming year. And you know, we talk about, you know, how we're going to approach our blogs and what we're going to be talking about for everybody out there. You know what we're finding out is people love steak. Oh, really? Just,
wow, that's very shattering.
Yeah, you know, we went ahead and just sat there for, you know, quite a while, listened to a lot of really important information, and that was the takeaway. So,
wow, people love it.
Really?
Speaking of steak, have you ever, I'm sure you have, you're a chef extraordinaire, but have you ever cooked the top blade steak?
Flat iron?
Not lately. But, you know, I like,
I didn't mean like
there's all kinds of delicious.
I mean, have you...
Top blade is
you
similar
like
in value to like chuck, isn't it?
Well, no, surprisingly, this is what's amazing to me. I went online, and I did not know this, but top blade or slash flat iron steak, do you know, according to all the media,
oh, flat iron, right.
A1 and all that, it's actually the second most tender cut. Next to the tenderloin that you can buy on a steak. I did not know that.
Interesting. So flat iron, that's in that same thing as the skirt steak and everything else like that?
Yeah. Well, that's nice. See, I think skirt's different than flat iron, and that's something I do some research on. But I use flat iron for these kebabs that I made last week.
Brazilian barbecue. Mm-hmm.
And they were fantastic, and I didn't know if you'd ever tried them.
If
you have it, you gotta try it out.
I'll bet, right? Tender, full of flavor.
I mean, they're thin, and it's nice. Like, it's like they flattened it almost with a fat wooden iron. Maybe that's how they get the name. Flat iron. But, I mean, flip-flopping out, and you're done. You throw it on the grill, and it's like instant, it's done.
By the way, for those
that
of
sounds
who
delicious.
May not know who Chef Cristo is, Chef Cristo Gonzalez has his own radio show. Whenever I decide to be around to tape it for him, but he has his own show. I guess we're calling it the Cristo Show right now, but we're trying to come up with a new name, and he's waiting for people to give him new names for his show. But he comes on, if we do this like the way we're supposed to, every Wednesday. He has his own show, and he talks to guests. He even has some poetry that he writes, and I think he sings and dances too, and along with all his cooking. So if you haven't heard his show, you can check it out on Wednesdays. And I guess, are you doing it this Wednesday?
I'm going to be doing it this Wednesday. I need to line up a guest. I think I have a couple in the wings. You know, it's odd with these time zones, because right now, like, you're dealing with Joseph Caniglio calling in from the
right.
West. So hopefully he understood
True.
You. That it was
well, actually,
Eastern time.
I think he's calling in now. The number just pops up here. It looks like a Washington number. So you just hang tight, Crystal. We're going to bring him on. Since
I'll
you
hang tight.
To ask him a question anyway.
And you can say hello, yeah.
Yeah, Joseph Caniglio. I can say it now. Joseph Caniglio is joining us. Good morning, Joseph. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello. How are you?
Hi, welcome.
Hey.
Good.
How am I coming in?
Coming in loud and
really?
Clear. So. We hear you good.
Right.
You're calling from Washington State, right?
Yes, Walla Walla, Washington, in the eastern side of the state. It's the arid desert side. It's kind of nice. Half an inch of snow.
You know Chef Cristo, right?
I certainly do.
Well,
hey,
Chef
Joseph.
Cristo is joining us.
Hello, my good friend. How are you?
I'm fantastic. When I saw you were going to be on the show today, I just had to call in because I don't know if people understand just how good your cheese is. So I wanted to let them know firsthand. I've had it. It's excellent.
Well, thank you.
Explain something to me first of all, because I'm stupid. Rubidoux, what does that mean?
Lewis and Clark, the explorers had a handful of French fur traders and guides, and he was the guide in my district down in Colorado at the time when I was living down in Colorado, and I just grabbed his name and used it for the business because he was being forgotten, and he basically created our district down there.
Oh, really?
And, you know, traded with the Indians and all this and all that. So
Lewis Clark and Rubidoux. Rubidoux was carrying all the beaver pelts. Was that he was the guy carrying all the furs?
Yeah, he was a fur guy.
Huh.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
So you're a cheese artisan. And according to Christo, you make some great cheese, and I wanted to have you on here to talk about some of the cheeses that you make. And Laurie loves cheese with her wine, by the way. So what is it?
Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning, Justin. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm glad we see each other on Facebook on occasion. Well, let's see. So would you like me to get going on this? Let's see.
Yeah, fire away.
All right.
Well, Let me ask a question. You've got some cheese right now that I knew I threw my hat in the ring there that I wanted some. How's that coming along?
You know what? I still have it. I've got your name marked on at least one of them, maybe two. Yeah. It's what do you call it? Black market cheese, because I'm an artisan, and my biggest beef is not being able to establish a legitimate cheese business up here in Washington State. The business math was approximately $250,000 short. It's a very, very anti-business state. You can't. I thought otherwise in the beginning. You know, it's a place where they have a lot of produce and apples and vineyards up here in my district. So I thought I'd come up here and start a cheese business, but it just ended up taking a lot of money. So I'm back to my farm style production, cheese making, which is small batches. It's artisan, and Christo's had it and has enjoyed it. So currently I'm making a Roquefort, some Roquefort's. I make Camembert's, Brie's, and I make a French style cheddar known as a Tom. A lot of people know Toms. They're the rind forming cheeses. So keep shooting some questions at me, and I'll see if I can.
I can't exactly remember the ones that you sent me. There was a lavender one, but there was another one that one of them was ready, and then another one was 2 weeks away. You said.
Yeah, that's the very interesting part about cheese and artisan cheese making is that. We'll use a term that's called affinage, and it's the ability to take a piece of cheese and store it and then decide when you want to eat it. And that's been all taken away from you at the supermarket level. Of course, if you're, you know, looking at the bottom drawer of your vegetable, well, that's where I keep all my cheeses in one of my vegetable drawers, my personal ones. And, you know, you run into something you forgot to eat, and sometimes it's good, sometimes you have to toss it. But
I'm a big fan of the stinky cheeses. So this never really got to that toss it stage with me.
Hey guys, one of you on a speakerphone?
I'm not.
I think Christo, you're not.
No, you know, you might have been hearing a lot of ambient noise because a marching band just went through my neighborhood.
Well,
it was the darndest thing. I kept trying to move around to get away from it.
Maybe that's what it was. I heard a lot of, like, almost some kind of radio on in the background or something. But
no, it was a drum band went through my neighborhood.
Only in New York. Only in New York. You know.
Yeah.
So Joseph, I got to go back to something you said a minute ago. So why is it so difficult to make a cheese business in Washington State? What do they try to make you do?
Well, you're gonna like this one. It's state law. It's state laws, and it depends on how the state wants to work with their local dairy men. That's what they still call them. In all 50 states, and when you're connecting with the USDA as part of a federal law thing, you get some pretty tight restrictions, and it works out into the favor of the very large dairy lobby, and it's the dairy lobby that controls the milk. Milk is a spot price commodity. And so it's like even somebody who has cows and milks cows and sells to their local co-op. They have to. And I'm not talking about the one down the street where you buy bin foods. I'm talking about there's a dairy co-op. They collect your milk. You have to belong to it. You have to buy your own milk back to make
really?
Cheese. Yeah, so it's really that way that spot price doesn't get messed with. So along the way, as an artisan, I was basically looking at 1,000 gallons a week of milk. That's quite enough, and that was my maximum for now. For instance, Beecher's in Seattle has a 1,200 gallon tank. They make it every day, but they've got a staff of 5 or 10 people making their cheddars that they make at that one location at Pike Place.
Wow.
So for me, I take that 1,000 gallons, and I would have a 300 gallon pasteurizer and divide it up and make batches of different things on different days. But it got really expensive, and there's a very high level of inspection involved. It's higher than beer and alcohol and wine distillates, and it's real tough to break
well,
into.
I have to ask too. Now, as an artisan, do you do it the old-fashioned way? I see you sitting there with a big churn or something. How do you make your cheese? Is it anything special to do as an artisan different than maybe some of the big guys do?
The process. The nice part about it is that the process is exactly the same, except I'm doing 2 5-gallon pots at a time, and but I'm not small change. I made enough cheese to go to 5 farmers markets in Colorado, including Aspen, Durango, all the resort towns, Crested Butte.
Cool.
Gunnison. This was a nice little area for me. We were west of the Rockies at that point in time, up till a couple of years ago before I moved to Walla Walla to restart the business. And one big difference I like to use raw milk. And raw milk ages better. All the enzymes are in it. And it's just a better quality product. You always hear everyone... There's always an article or two about the risks and advantages of raw milk in people's diet. So, and that's the dairy industry also puts a big kibosh on that. It's even if you were to use pasteurized milk, they'd be on your back. The raw milk is a very delicate place to be. You're allowing possible pathogens in and. But that's all taken care of by it's called good practices, just basically having professional practices and dealing with terms of sanitation, the animal health, and it's not rocket science. You just get right back to it, and it brings you right back. It's been done for thousands of years,
Very healthy for you too, raw milk.
Yeah, enzymes are all there. People don't have the lactose intolerance. There's a misconception. In raw milk, it's quite minimized. Yeah, you're having enzymatic reactions there's things living in the milk and reactions taking place in the milk that are killed by pasteurization. So it leads all back to that at one point.
So you're actually selling your cheeses now at farmers market, and what are some of your best sellers as far as flavors?
Oh, I'd like to correct you. I presently am not. Because I needed that federal licensure up here in Washington.
Oh.
I basically had to start all over again. Those were the Colorado days, were only a few years back. But I make a beautiful Roquefort, the dark blue veined Roquefort. Usually those take about 90 days, and I make Camemberts, which are extra stinky brie types. They're double cream. They're double cream. They have a nice white coat on them. And then I make artisan cheeses that are pretty obscure but really tasty because let me sidetrack. You ever hear something called lambic beer? You know, beer that uses natural yeast?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and all that. So what I do is I allow my milk to have its own terroir from the region in terms of how I inoculate it with my cultural strains that I use and some of the cultures that I make myself. So
okay.
it's a bit biochem, it's a bit Little House on the Prairie, it's a handful of things.
When you first started the conversation, you said it was black market cheese. Literally, it is right now. That's how you're making it.
Oh yes. I had a. I received what I was doing. What I was doing when I was up here, and I'm happy to report it because I'm not doing it now, so I'm not in any trouble here. I started making more and more cheese up here. And my all my coolers and everything were full. Everything was aging again. They were undergoing affinage, that term again. And
right.
Then all of a sudden, you know, I've got wine friends. I'm in a district with 150 wineries up here. I said, man, what a great fit. And so I started parlaying my cheeses to wineries, and someone who's highly regulated and highly licensed up here saw that, you know, an artisan was getting involved and put a call into the state.
Oh boy!
And then I received a telephone call in June of last year to cease and desist making cheese and under penalty of criminal law, not even civil. I said, man, it's not worth tangling with the judicial system and the federal and state governments for a guy who just wants to make I was making about 6 pounds.
I picture like AST agents like raiding your place and taking away your cheese. It's just like unbelievable.
Lori, they're known as the cheese police.
Yeah,
the
cheese police.
Yeah, they're known as the cheese police. There's a great episode on British television on the cheese police. It's true. So. There's a factor of public safety, but the possibility of ever getting ill from cheese is rather remote, highly remote, like point 0.1 out of 1% even. It's like nothing. And then I'm sitting around. Licking my wounds, and then you hear that about that half a billion egg recall because
right.
of the factory farm thing that went on recently, not so long ago. You know, where these goobers are doing all these things with chickens in the in factory settings. It's ridiculous. Anybody
yep.
with good habits and humane. Handling of meats and eggs and livestock and materials like milk they're going to do fine. Bottom line, I encourage everybody to make cheese. That's where we can create a problem where it's going to get reexamined.
It's kind of like marijuana. You'd be better off growing marijuana in Washington, I think, than making cheese, though, wouldn't you?
I've had friends. Yeah, I do have a green thumb. I've had friends suggest that's a possibility. Thank you.
I think you should go into comedy.
Yeah,
oh,
really.
Funny. Yeah, when I'm not, I had to gauge how serious you guys are first. Yeah, I have a hell of a sense of humor. Yeah. So what ends up happening is we're one of the weed states. Of course, where I left in Colorado was also a weed stain.
Exactly.
I'm just catching a pattern here.
A whole new meaning for Rocky Mountain High. Well, we appreciate joining us this morning and talking about cheeses. I feel like we need to like be wearing dark sunglasses and hiding somewhere while we talk about this.
I know.
You know, good luck out there, and like Christo says, it's great stuff. Of course, I guess we can't get it unless we sneak across the border or something. But
that'd be called interstate transport. Yeah,
there you go.
I believe it's a felony. Yes, for me to send cheese.
We're going to be arresting us.
Yeah. So what I'd like to suggest people do is, if I may do a very mild, not a self-endorsement here. If people are listening and are interested in something, I'd like to say, log on to dairyconnection.com.
Right.
And buy yourself some nice cultures. Make some yogurt. Make some cottage cheese. Make some mozzarella at home. start there. You can make a nice fresh creme fraiche. You can make Neuchâtels. And then work your way to a more complicated thing. Make them at home. Make them in your apartment in 2-gallon steel pots. Bottom line, don't use no chlorinated water. Keep everything clean, and start making yourselves some cheese. Dairyconnection.com.
Dairyconnection.com. That's interesting.
Check it out, it's a very good place. Check it out, and also click on your Facebook page, too. If people want to find out how to make cheese, undercover cheese and black market cheese, they can find you on Facebook. We've got a link here. Just click on the face page, and they'll take you to Joseph's page.
Yes, you're welcome to do that.
You want
to
add anything else before we let you go? I'm afraid we're going to hang up because all I can see now is the FBI like swarming in here and the SWAT team diving in here shortly.
I have one other thing. I'm promoting my book. It's also the book is also easily looked up by coming to my page. So yeah, use that link to my page and you'll be hooking. You can hook up to my book. It's called Skin Side Down. It's a travelogue, and it involves the Western United States and France and the dichotomies of the two. It's full of about 100 recipes. It talks about cheese. One thing I would like to suggest is called Skin Side Down. Skin Side Down, as in cooking a piece of duck. Or fish with a skin side. So it's just a way of creating a racy title and still having a very nice content book. But the last thing I want to leave you with is this, and this is really kind of silly, but 10 minutes outside of Paris, you can keep a dozen chickens. I'm not a grassroots guy. I'm not a tree hugger. I'm a bit of a rogue, and I'm a bit of a rebel. And I'm saying, give your kids and families and friends new memories by handing them a dozen eggs that your hens have laid in your urban backyards. Christo, you can keep them on your roof. You're good. Right, Christo, right next to the zebra.
There you go.
Thank you, Joseph.
We appreciate. I think Christo left us. I think he joined the band.
Okay, he knows. Yeah, he knows though.
Take care, Joseph. We appreciate it. And everybody, check out his book, Inside Down. Go to his Facebook page, and we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to bring on Fred Zera, and Fred will be joining us here to talk about his movie Read Me. So everybody, hang tight. And actually, I'm going to play a song which is the main theme for Read Me, and it was to take a break. We'll be Fred on here in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned.
And we're back. And, Laurie, I never in my wildest dream knew that making cheese was so dangerous.
That's hysterical. That was so funny. I was just picturing the police coming to the door. I think we were chomping on our cheddar. And then like, the police, like, we're like, joint, we follow it. Follow the evidence.
Oh, that's so weird. All right. We're going to our next guest. And Fred Zero was on our show a while back, and he's making a new movie. And I want to see this movie made. It just, to me, it sounds like a really cool concept. And if you've seen the trailers that Fred has on his site, it just looks like a really good movie. I want to have Fred back on. He started another Kickstarter project trying to raise money for the movie. And good morning, Fred. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hey,
hi,
hey.
Fred.
All right. How are you
good.
Doing? So
hey,
you're
there.
At it again.
It's time to take this classy show down a notch a little bit.
That's right.
Stop
well,
talking about cheese. We'll start talking about some good stuff. What's up?
Well, welcome back, and I see you're at it again, and we had you on a while back, and you were trying to raise money for the movie, and I wanted to have you back on for those who may have missed our show to talk about your
okay.
new project on Kickstarter and tell everybody about the movie, and I'm going to turn it over to you to kind of give us a background of the movie itself, some of the background of what you've done in the past, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, well, right, cool. Well, I'm a filmmaker. I'm originally from New Jersey. I live in Orlando now. And I've been trying to get this film off the ground for a little while now. It's something I'm writing and directing, and it's called Read Me. And it's about essentially about a guy that just doesn't know how to read. And he has dyslexia, and his father's kind of a schlub, and he doesn't have his mom anymore. She kind of left. So he never overcame his dyslexia, and he just decided wandering through life from odd job to odd job, not knowing how to read is just that should be fine. So he develops like a skill where he can actually kind of almost read minds, read situations, read people, even though he can't read a street sign and he can't get from here to there looking at a map, but he could kind of navigate the world in sort of a different way. And I thought that was an interesting jumping off point to start a movie. I grew up with dyslexia and a learning disability, and it kind of does sort of heighten other, you know, skills and make you kind of rework your brain a little bit. So it's something that I overcame, but it made me thinking, like, you know, I'm 41 years old now. What if I never did? Like, what if I, you know, what kind of job would I have ended up with? Like, how would I,
right.
you know, what kind of people would I hang around? Is it something that a 40-year-old man would even try and overcome at that point? And then there's other
right.
characters in the film that they all have their own little problem. And one thing I'm really trying not to do with this film, like I'm not trying to make sort of like a after school special type of, you know, cautionary tale about literacy in this country or goofiness. Like, you know, I'm not trying to go
right.
that route with it. You know, it's just a movie about people with issues, and his issue just happens to be this. There are some other characters in you know, that have other issues in the film that they're trying to overcome. So it's about people, it's about characters, and it's just about these people, a day in the life of these people. Yeah, it's about life.
Right.
It's about, I'm not trying to be preachy with it, but this guy's character, his issue is that he never learned to read. He has dyslexia.
Right.
How does he deal with that?
The concept is really good, and we Laurie and I were talking about it yesterday and today, and she actually is actually publishing some children's books, and we're talking about and also doing the thing with her, you know, just food news and what we do each and every week here. And you don't think about it, you take it for granted that everybody can read, but some people have issues. And like I said, this is not just about reading, but it's an interesting way to bring out the problem and also see how it affects someone's life and then everybody else around him. And I'm really excited.
Yeah,
I hope this time you raise the money and get it done.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for backing it. And you know, the non-reading thing is kind of a weird thing because it's kind of like one of those things that's still kind of okay to make fun of. Like, I mean, we noticed, like, the John Travolta thing during the Oscars where he read Idina Menzel's name sort of backwards, dyslexic, sort of mixed up. And that was, like, the funniest thing in the world. And you know, people still say in everyday conversation when they're reading something that they, you know, they don't have dyslexia, but if they mess up, you know, oh, my dyslexia is kicking in. And they say it as if, like, you know, if they were to say, like, oh, I'm feeling retarded today, or, you know.
Right.
They use it very disparagingly, and it's like, it's still, like, okay to do that. It's like one of those things that's still, like, you know, the dyslexic people of the world haven't risen up and demanded that, you know, they're not judged on like other people. So, like, it's something that I kind of think, you know, it is common enough that maybe we should have a film that kind of talk, not a documentary, but like a narrative film where this is what these people go through. You know, it's interesting how many times people will walk up with their cell phone even and have like a little joke written on their phone and just hand it to you and say, here, check this joke out. Just hand it to you. And like, if you didn't know how to read, you would just have to stand there and hold this phone and like kind of laugh, oh, that's funny, and just hand it back to them. Because,
right,
you know, you don't want to just explain to them, oh, I, you know, I'm 28 years old, I can't read. And no, you can't. You know, it's like a whole weird thing that is just not talked about, but it's still kind of okay to almost make fun of. So, you know, I don't know. I thought it would be an interesting kind of film.
Well, I think
premise.
It's interesting, too. And people who – we talk about Kickstarter projects quite often here on the show, but people who may not know about the Kickstarter – website, what you do is you go to Kickstarter, and we've got the link here for Fred's movie, and what you do is you can pledge money to help him bring the project to fruition, and you get different gifts and prizes based on the amount of money that you donate to the cause. I think you're like halfway there so far, and you get like 3 weeks left on the project.
Yeah, we have 3 weeks as of today. You can actually get to the project if you go to readme.movie.com.
Okay.
I have the link to the Kickstarter there, or you can actually donate through PayPal right through that site there. Kickstarter is I don't know, people don't really know the Kickstarter is actually run through Amazon.com, so it's not like some weird, you know, communist website that you don't know who's running it. It's an Amazon-run website, and when you donate and pledge through Kickstarter, they make you, you know, connect to your Amazon account to do the actual transaction. So it's a lot easier than people actually think it is. But if that scares you, there's PayPal. You can contact me and send, you know, green stuff in the mail. I'm good with that.
Well, great.
We're not talking cheese either. We're talking money on this particular segment. So you can send
the
green stuff.
On this particular case, I mean, there's plenty of different green stuff you can send me in the mail.
Yeah.
It would help me get the movie made if it was actually money. but then again, nowadays people don't even know what green money actually looks like. It's all credit card
now,
money.
If you get the money lined up in the next 3 weeks, what's the target date for the actual movie?
Well, because here in Florida it gets kind of hot to shoot in the summertime,
right.
Likely what would happen is that we would shoot some, like, a couple of little bits and pieces over the summer, but the bulk of the movie would be shot in somewhere around October, November. So we would be looking at, like, February, March, to where we would be looking at, like, a, you know, a cast and crew screening premiere type of thing, and, you know, festival screenings and stuff like that early to mid-next year.
Well, reason I'm asking, because Laurie and I are making an announcement here on the show, we're going to make a pledge to the show is over, make a pledge, and we're going to be actually donating $350 to the cause. And
the reason
why, because I noticed that if you donate $350, you could be an extra in the film, and I figured Laurie's a better extra than me, because she's a lot freer than I am. So we're going to be donating $350 after the show and making a pledge, and you got to have to figure out a way somewhere to put Laurie in the movie. Now, she says she wants to dress up and walk down the street and be pretty. I said, what if he wants you as a bag lady or something like that? So,
we have several scenes we could fit her into, and we can make her look as pretty as she wants to be, or we can make her a monster. The makeup artist that I work with, he works at Universal Studios and does Halloween Horror Nights, so we can actually make her a vampire if she wants.
No,
$350 goes a long way for this film.
Well, we're going to make the donation. I want to encourage everyone out there, if you haven't had a chance to check out the Kickstarter project, we've got the link here. You can click on it and go find out more about Fred's movie. And by the way, this is not his first rodeo. He's done other movies. As a matter of fact, tell some of the other movies you've done, Fred.
Well, I do. I'm actually a video producer by trade.
Okay.
I usually work in educational content. I work for a tech company called Treehouse. And we also do some short film, narrative films through Treehouse as well. And some stuff is on YouTube and on our website. I most recently did a documentary in 2009 that was it was very New Jersey based. You would have liked that actually. Very New Jersey based. It was about the punk rock scene in the 1980s that I was a part of in Trenton, New Jersey. I was in a band that played in CBGBs and City Gardens and some of these clubs around that area. So I made a documentary about that in 2009, which premiered at the CMJ Festival in New York City. Went on to play in Philly. It won some awards. It won an award at CMJ. So that was actually pretty cool. And now it's in some strange distribution. I randomly get emails from England and from these different places where people have seen it. And so it's still out there. If you go to averagecommunity.com, you can stream it online, or you can download it. You can you can order the DVD or whatnot. And then I made some films going back even further. Assistant directed and edited some films with a partner of mine named Banks Helfrick here in town. We did Seven Lives of Chance together. We did these are his films that he wrote and directed, and I was assistant on those. And we recently did a film called Fat, Dumb, and Happy. Sounds like a film about the American Dream, but it's
about Fat, Dumb, and Happy. That has Emily Ellen, right? Is Emily Ellen is in that movie, correct?
I don't know if I'm picking up that name. Who?
Emily Ellen.
Emily Ellen. Yes, that's where I met Emily. Actually.
Yes.
Exactly. Meeting Emily on that film is why I know about you guys, and so
that's
it all kind of ties together. Yeah, and
there you go. Wow.
It just premiered in Palm Beach. I think is that where it premiered? There's so many of them. He Banks does so many films. You get confused on where they all play. But I'm pretty sure it just premiered in the Palm Beach International Film Festival. And it's going to be playing at an Albuquerque, New Mexico media festival or something like that next month.
Oh, great.
He's doing real well.
Fred, we really want you to get this thing off and rolling. And,
definitely
do. This time, I want you to make sure that everybody's out there listening. Help him support him. He'll take a dollar. He'll take cheese. He'll take whatever.
We'll take a dollar,
I know.
Yeah,
I'm going to share it on my page, too. I'm not one people can know that. I don't post very often. I'm not, and I don't like to share things. I'm funny with that kind of stuff because I feel like people feel pressure, so I feel uncomfortable sharing. But I'm definitely going to share your information on my page.
But
I'm going to prepare something
Fred,
right and post
she
it
knows
next
she's
week.
Gonna be in the she's going to be in the movie now. Yeah. She knows she can promote it now.
Well, yeah. If you help us get it made, then that's it. Then you're
there
on
you
the
go.
Big screen. And like you said, we obviously we would take $5 donations, $10. I mean, $350 would be phenomenal from you guys. Thank you. But anybody can donate $10, $5, $20. Whatever.
Right.
If I have so many friends out there on like LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, and if all those people donated $5, I wouldn't be concerned.
Exactly.
But everybody's very supportive in liking the project. I'm just trying to encourage them to if you like it, help me make it happen, because it's not going to happen, through the Hollywood studio system, because there's no nudity, there's no sexual violence, there's no explosions, and there's no Tom Cruise. So, if this movie's going to happen,
But there's you talking about the real struggles of life,
exactly.
And managing to get through them. We've all been there, for sure.
Yeah, you and I care about that, but, a lot of people just want to watch Godzilla, so. Although that actually looks pretty good, Godzilla.
Well, maybe your character he turns into a monster or something somewhere in the movie, and they'll help you raise some money. You said you could make Laurie look like a vampire, so maybe your main character should turn into a vampire, and maybe you'll sell more tickets that way.
I could do that. Like if he bites somebody, like they get like a dyslexic vampire virus or something like that.
Yes, this is a bad joke. Instead of biting on the neck, he's dyslexic. Instead of biting on the neck, he like bites on the knee or something. That's not even.
Anyway. There's always room for a sequel. So maybe that'll be in the Hollywood sequel.
Well, Fred, we wish you the best of luck. Everyone out there, if you're listening, help him out. Go to the link, make a donation, and if he gets the money, he will make this movie and keep us posted. And we'll be
setting up our little place.
Come on.
He's a Jersey boy. That's right from Trenton. So, hey, he ain't all that bad. So check him out. Fred, keep us posted, and best of luck.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on, and thanks for the donation, and good luck with your books and your show and your cheese and whatever else.
Thank you very much.
Whatever struggles we have, right?
All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break. And guess what? We've got the wine czar calling in, and
woo-hoo!
I don't know, he's on some assignment. I don't know what he's doing, but he's calling in. So we're going to bring on the wine czar. I'm going to take a quick little break. In fact, wait a minute. Let me go to my sound effects here, and we need this,
here we go.
You know, here we go. Well, you know, these are like Brian songs that we played a long time ago. I got to find it real quick here. Yes, here we go. We're going to play a little sound effect music for our Brian the Wine Czar, and we'll be right back here in just a couple of minutes.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, hood, lay, hood, lay, ooh, ooh. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, hood, lay, hood, low. Folks in a town that was quite remote herd, lay, hood, lay, hood, lay, ooh, ooh. Lusty and clear from the goat herd's throat herd, lay, hood, lay, hood, low. Bridge of a castle moat herd, lay, hood, lay, hood, lay, ooh.
Men on a road with a load to tote herd, lay, hood, lay, hood.
Men in the midst of a toppled yoke herd, lay, hood, lay,
hood, lay, ooh. Men drinking beer with a foam afloat herd, lay, hood, lay, hood, hood. A pale pink coat herd, lay, hood, lay, hood, lay, ooh.
She yodeled back to the lonely goat herd, lay, hood, lay,
ooh. Soon her mama with a gleaming gloat herd, lay, hood, lay, hood, lay, ooh. What a duet for a girl and goat herd, lay, hood, lay, hood, low.
I'm not echoing, am I?
Yes, you are.
Yep.
Anyway.
Let me try to go outside where it's raining and see if it's not echoing. Is it better now?
We figured this out.
Is it better
remember
now?
Last time, what if,
oh,
no,
we can't exactly. Do it.
Remember,
we
what did he do
it.
Last time? He had to do something.
Get,
remember, we figured this out.
Had to get rid of him. Yeah, I had to get rid of him.
Just
Brian, if you're listening to me, you have to go turn off your phone and reset it, and then I'll check back in a couple of minutes. He's in a lonely goat herd. He's all by himself up there now because we can't talk to him because his phone is echoing. So, in the meantime, there's a reason why I played that song because where he's at has something to do with Austria. But he'll call back in a couple of minutes, Laurie.
Oh, boy. Figures.
Actually, almost, I'm a movie star. Do you have any other?
No, I wish. No, actually, I don't wish. I don't want to be a movie star. I just want to be in the distance. just a quick, you know. There she goes. Just a walk on the street.
That's going to be cool. If he gets the money for this, it's going to be really cool to see you in this movie.
I think if he got some big backers. I mean, it's not a lot. What is that? How much does he need? Like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000? I mean, it's not a lot of money. That's first.
Yeah, it's only like, no, $3,500 or something like that, I believe, or 4,000.
$3,500? Yes. To have a movie. It's not a lot of money.
Well, no, he needs nine something, but he's halfway there already.
Oh, he needs that much. Okay, I see what you're saying.
So anyway, do you have any food news? Because Brian's going to have to call back in.
He should be calling in, but let me just get the, what did I want to do? There was another, I wanted to wait for him, but he'll call and he can add to it. Okay, I've got some more food trends here. These are some good ones. Say goodbye to the menus and start looking for cart guard, dumplings, cocktail trolleys, tableside service, creative tartare, and Western dim sum. Did you say goodbye to the menus? Bye-bye.
I have no clue what you're even talking about. What are you talking about?
Restaurants, say goodbye to menus and look for carts, carts, and more carts. They're going to be they're talking about they want to be passing around carts. They want to pass down,
like rolling carts along
of,
and...
rolling carts. They're going to start, instead of picking from a menu, they're going to roll around the carts and say, okay, here's cocktail trolleys, here's some table. Yeah.
Cigarette.
Yeah. Say bye-bye.
Steaks. Dumplings. Oh, boy.
Dumplings.
Okay, so they're going to be pushing around hot dog carts throughout the restaurant.
You can't go there. Not hot dog carts.
Okay, so that's I can't wait. I like reading a menu myself. I don't want to be picking it off
a cart. I do, too. I like to sit and relax. I'll feel bad if you come by with the cart. I'm not ready to order. I'll have to start ordering from the cart because it won't feel bad.
yep.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
I would like our wines are on this one, but barrel are the new punch. Wood is the flavor of the moment in cocktails, and for the last few years, high-end bartenders across the country have been experimenting with aging cocktails in oak casks to add depth and warmth and to make service easier. But price and availability are the casks that have kept the trend from going far until now, because recently a couple of whiskey brands, speaking of bacon and whiskey, a couple of whiskey brands have released barrel aging kits. So a wood chip based workaround just took the cocktail internet by storm. I haven't heard of this. A wood chip based workaround?
I don't know.
In 2014, wood chips won't just be for the smoker anymore. Look for branded wood chips, barrel aged spirits, barrel aged Manhattans, old fashioned barrel aged beer, and the barrel aged cocktails on tap.
But they've been making whiskey in barrels in Kentucky for a long, long time.
Yeah, but they're going to just add other things to it. They're going to age. They're going to barrel age
Manhattan.
Whoever thinks of
these trends,
these
trends, I don't know. I think people just sit around trying to think of weird stuff.
They do.
They do.
I told you, the Food Network, that's what they do. They sit around to say, what can we create that's going to be different, that's going to set a trend? That's what they do.
Speaking of weird stuff, I think we got the wines are again. So hang on 1 second. Let me try it again. See if he's echoing. Brian, are you there?
I'm here. Am I echoing?
Let's see.
No.
1, 2, 3. No, you're not echoing. All right. Now, where are you?
Oh, God. You don't want to know where I am. And
you
let me tell you something. I'm not the goat herder. I am the goat herd.
You say
I am the entire herd. I am actually in D.C. right now at the Austrian Embassy pouring for a wine seminar. Cool. That my fearless leader and proprietor of the Austrian portfolio that we acquired asked me to come up and help out. And it's part of, actually, there's a big festival going on. It's like the EU, all of the EU, it's like a cultural festival, and people are coming from embassy to embassy to embassy and just kind of coming in, hanging out. There's food demonstrations and wine demonstrations at all of the different embassies, and I'm here in Austria yet again.
Oh,
pretty
it's
cool.
And
here,
having,
really.
having a great time. Wait, you know, everybody's got to go look at my Facebook page and look at the size of the bottle I'm holding up and the picture that I just had someone tag me on and post. Because
okay.
it's so big.
Note.
What exactly is it, the EU, EUO? What is it? It's
EU,
is it?
The European Union.
European Union.
Oh.
You know, like all of the countries that are in the European Union, they're having a cultural festival this weekend. So,
gotcha.
You know, all
some
of the embassies
that,
are doing stuff and people are getting online and going through the security and, you know, and coming in, and here they're getting to taste some strudel and some wine and
cool. How about cheese?
I don't know if I saw any cheese out there, but
I'm sorry
I missed the cheese segment. I will have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, you have to.
But you know,
to
here
that.
I am again hyping Austrian wine.
Oh well,
it's
that's good.
So incredible. So
well,
how are you guys?
We're just doing
good.
Great. You know, I was sitting here thinking about it. Last time we were together at that Food and Friend deal, you did smell like a goat herd. The more I think about it. Oh, God. Okay. So what else is going on in the wine czar world? See, Mother's Day coming up, right? We always talk about holidays and what's
oh,
good
yeah,
for...
Oh, tomorrow, gosh.
What's the
yeah,
good
Mother's
Day
wine? Is coming up, and I hope you guys are taking care of your mothers.
Mm-hmm.
For Mother's Day, I say, you know, go out and get your mother a dozen roses, and bring her a bottle of sparkling wine. It could be sweet. It could be dry. You know, it could be dry. Whatever it is, bring her some bubbles and make her happy. You know, they brought us into this world, so you know we gotta do something for them.
If
but
I
like
my
I
mother
mean,
wine, if I brought my mother wine for Mother's Day, she brought me into the world. She would take me out of this world because she doesn't drink.
Doesn't drink.
I understand that, but you know, you're the exception. You're the exception. But,
I
you know,
his
we,
mother,
we,
she
we
had
have
him.
To, we have to, we have to go with the majority here.
True. I'll take her a bottle of Coke or something. That's about her speed. So anyway, so Mother's Day, let's see, and then Father's Day is coming too. That's in June, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you give
yeah.
Father's Day? What do you give fathers for Father's Day? What's a good wine to give to fathers?
I give him some good beer. I take him out to the ball game and give him some good beer.
Aww.
The hell with the wine. You know me. I'm flexible. I do beer. I do wine. I do schnapps. I do scotch. I'll do it all.
Water.
You know that's why you like to call me the czar of everything rather than just the wine czar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're the czar of everything in your own mind. So you're at the Austrian embassy.
Yeah, we're going to get ready for another. We're going to do another session in about an hour. And,
how long did it last? What time did you stay there till?
It's about an hour session. Actually, the funny thing is Klaus Wittauer, who was our fearless leader, before we started the first session, he says, "I have 45 minutes to do an hour and a half session." So we were kind of pouring fast and getting people to drink fast, and, but it's all good. I think everybody had a great time, and it looks like people ordered a lot of wine. It doesn't impact me directly because they'll pick it up at shops in the D.C. area and the Northern Virginia area. But
no,
that's not why I'm here.
You're just helping out.
Why I'm here is for him. And for my love of this portfolio that I'm so happy to have and, so happy to be able to sell.
Yep.
You know, I've said this before, and I hope I have a good opportunity to sit down with the two of you and let you taste some Austrian wines because they're that good.
Well, we're still waiting.
Just let us
know. I'm waiting for the invitation. I mean, you know, I've got the private jet. I've got the magic carpet. It's all fueled up and ready to go. And, you know, I'm waiting for the invitation. I can be there in a second. And, you know, when we finally get the Star Trek transportation system going, I can be there in a second. So I'm just waiting for the invitation.
So your our door is always open.
The ball's in your court. The ball's in your court. And the same thing, you know, my door is always open. And I'm, 2 hours away?
True.
All right.
Well, once I get my jersey stuff settled and, we'll see.
Oh, jersey stuff. Oh, you and your jersey stuff. You jersey girls.
Yeah, I know. Are you done? You got to go pour some wine or something?
I'm drinking wine now. I don't know, I'm not ready to pour it. I'm just drinking wine.
Is it a red or white?
It's a white. I know you're a red girl. I know Grill's a red girl. but I'm drinking a white. I'm sorry to say right now.
Wait, I think Brian has an echo. Brian had to go because he had an echo.
Don't you dare do that.
Anyway, we got to go. We got 6 minutes. Glory, you got anything else you want to add and say anything to the folks that are out there?
Don't want to say anything? You mean I talk for 6 minutes or read something? What am I doing here?
Goodbye, hello, good night,
Gracie.
Goodbye,
farewell,
anything?
Until we meet again.
There you go. And hey, well, hold on. That was mean. Brian, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
I would like to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Aww.
I would like to say that I love you guys and that I can't wait to see you again. And again, the door is always open.
I'm
ready. I have plenty of wine. Yeah.
Well, enjoy yourself in there in Austria Embassy, and thank you for checking in. Everybody, we got to go. I'm going to play a song which is called Sunshine and Moonshine. And I don't think we're talking about the drinking type, but this is part of Fred's Read Me movie. We appreciate all of our guests joining us, and even Brian, thank you. And everyone have a nice weekend.
Brian.
We will see you
guys. We'll see you next week.
Take care. I play.
sunshine in my pocket. Moonshine makes it clear. Can say what you want about me, baby, but I'm right here. Got this old-time whiskey feel.